It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're here with the national champions.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's time for the High Noon Showdown on a Friday. It's noon. Still to come on the show, latest from the NFL draft previews for the Cincinnati Bengals and the Kansas City Chiefs, the good, the bad, the ugly. But right now, it's time to beat up your neighbor. Jordan and Gene are our two contestants today. Gene, fastest on the trigger. He was caller number one. He's on list B. Gino, welcome into the show, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. Thanks for having me. I don't know how I'm going to do today because I still have some brain fog from my surgery long ago.
Hey, certainly we're always rooting for you, Gino. Jordan is also on the line. Hi. Jordan, how are you doing? Are you ready to rumble?
Yeah, let's get after it.
All right, let's get after it indeed. It's time for the High Noon Showdown. It is grilling season. This weekend might bring us back down in weather, but without a doubt, we are back. Fire up the grill, and with an assist from the all-new Uncle Ed Specialty Meats, can elevate your grill game every single time out and about on the grill. It's time to beat up your neighbor in this week's edition of the High Noon Showdown.
You want a piece of me?
I don't want a piece of you. I want the whole thing.
Can you feel the tension in the air right now? I know I can.
Doesn't have to be a fight in the parking lot, although we'd love to see that, actually.
It's time to duke it out in this week's edition of the High Noon Showdown.
The High Noon Showdown, the only place in town where you can beat up your neighbor and get away with it over the air, of course. Brought to you by the all-new Uncle Ed Specialty Meats. Elevate your grill game with a visit to Uncle Ed's on the east side of Sioux Falls. Well, Gino was caller number one. He chose list B. Gino, I got a brain buster for you. What jersey number does Pistons young star Cade Cunningham wear?
Ooh, I thought it was going to be a Marquette question,
no,
but it's not.
That would be a softball, not a brain buster. Give me the number, Gino.
Two.
Two is correct. Over to Jordan we go. Jordan, for my money, the best young player in the entire NBA is Victor Wembanyama in San Antonio. What jersey number does he wear?
Then number one.
Number one. Ding, ding, ding. Over to some college trivia. The NFL draft is next week. I'm a draft nerd, so I can recite these much to the chagrin of my wife with my eyes closed. But where did this guy go to college? He's projected to be a top 10 guy, maybe even top five. And the name I need to know, where did he wrap up his college career? David Bailey. What college did he go to?
Baylor?
Not going to be Baylor. Not too far away. Texas Tech. West Texas. Texas Tech. Gino, your name to know for the NFL draft is Arvell Reese. Where did he play college ball? Need an answer from you, Gino. Arvell Reese.
Ohio State University.
Yeah, he's a Buckeye. That's right, Gino. Here we go. You can slam the door, stub the toe of Jordan if you get this one right. In the 2016 NFL draft, the Minnesota Vikings took this Ole Miss wide receiver at number 23 overall. Who am I talking about? Need an answer
Justin
from you.
Justin Jefferson.
Not Justin Jefferson. This guy was a massive bust for Minnesota. Laquon Treadwell was his name. Jordan, similar question for you. Minnesota had three first-round picks in the 2013 NFL draft, and they spent number 29 overall that year on this receiver out of the University of Tennessee. Who am I talking about?
Oh, the punt returner.
That's correct. You're on the right track here.
Cordarrelle Patterson.
Oh, it is Cordarrelle Patterson. Correct. I didn't hear you right at first. You're going into overtime, Jordan. You get the first crack of the bat here. Away we go. In the 1999 NFL draft, there was a famous trade between the Saints and the then Washington Redskins. New Orleans traded every single pick the rest of the way and then some for some dude named Ricky Williams. The question today is, How many total draft picks did the Saints trade to earn the right to draft Ricky Williams? Give me your best guess there. How many total draft picks were involved from the Saints side of that trade?
I'll go with five.
Five. Over to Gino. Gino, what's today's correct answer, man? 99 NFL draft. The Saints gave up how many draft picks for Ricky Williams?
I'm going seven.
Seven. The correct answer is eight. Gino, job well done. That was a massive trade. Gino, I got your Twins tickets. I'll send those to you. Rest of the prize pack at the front desk. Job well done to Gino and Jordan. By the way, I will be giving away a four-pack of tickets to tonight's Minnesota Twins game. So I'm going to let you know something. Sometimes we get Twins tickets. I got opportunity here and there and everywhere to give them away. Other times I wake up and it's Thursday and the game's tomorrow. So we got a game today, tonight, against the Cincinnati Reds. And I would love for you to be a lucky caller later in the show and use those tickets. Or maybe you got a cousin or an aunt or an uncle or a nephew or a niece that lives in that area that might want to go tonight. I'll transfer the tickets to you. They get used. I am happy as a clam. So call in just a little while for some Minnesota Twins tickets. Job well done. That's the High Noon Showdown. Gino, a winner. Jordan, pretty darn close. And that concludes today's High Noon Showdown, brought to you by the all-new Uncle Ed Specialty Meat. Stay tuned. I got a four-pack of Twins tickets for tonight's game to give away. Might be a good time to go ahead and dial those loved ones over there in the Twin Cities and say, hey, if I win these on the radio, can you use them tonight? That game is at 7:10, 6:30 pregame coverage. I'll give you time, and I'll look to give those away in about 10, 15 minutes here on the show. Let's dive in to your headlines of the day. It's hour number two, and we start with your scorecard. Eight seed games out of the NBA tonight. Hornets and Magic from Orlando, 6:30 on Prime Video. Charlotte is favored to win and enter the NBA postseason for the first time in a decade. Warriors and Suns, 9 o'clock on Prime Video. Phoenix favored at home by 3.5. And your first-round matchups on Saturday, Raptors and Cavs from Cleveland at noon. T-Wolves and Nuggets from Denver, 2:30. Hawks and Knicks, 5 o'clock on Prime Video. Rockets and the Lakers, 7:30. What needs to happen this postseason to fill the appetite up for the New York Knicks fans and the impatient fan base there in the Big Apple? Here's Vince Goodwill this morning on Get Up.
If the Knicks have a very disappointing postseason, either nodding out and bowing out in round one, or maybe not really competing with Boston in round two, do you think we could see a significant changes there?
James Dolan laid out the gauntlet a couple of months ago on the same night that the Knicks were blown up by 30 in Detroit. The irony of it, he said we should make the NBA Finals.
Without a doubt.
When you are saying that, and it lets everybody know that publicly, we've already known that privately, that shows you the stakes are so high. The New York Knicks, more than any other franchise, more than the Spurs, more than the Thunder, more than anybody else you can think of, have the pressure on them this season to advance to a certain place. They don't have to win a title. They have to get to the NBA Finals, no matter what.
No matter what. Vince Goodwill this morning on Get Up. Let's move forward now into the NHL. The regular season concluded last night. St. Louis got a win, but they're not going to be in the postseason. 37-33-12. Robert Thomas had a hat trick, but season comes to a close with a 5-3 win at Utah. Elsewhere, Avalanche won again against Seattle at home in Denver, 2-0. They're 55-16-11, and that point total, 121, is the most ever in a season in franchise history. If you are a hockey fan, Avalanche fan, you know they've had some really good teams. This one is statistically the best one yet. 121 points as the Avs enter as the number one seed in the Western Conference playoffs. Your field and matchups are set. Saturday, three game ones, Senators at Hurricanes, 2 o'clock, Wild at Stars, 4:30 on ESPN, Flyers and Penguins at 7 o'clock. Sunday, we got Kings at Avs, Canadians at Lightning, Bruins at Sabres, Mammoth at Golden Knights. And then on Monday, we've got three game twos and then a game one as the nightcap. Ducks and the Oilers from Edmonton, Monday night, 9 o'clock on ESPN2. Race fans, this weekend, the race at Kansas Motor Speedway on the NASCAR circuit. Coverage begins at 1 o'clock on Fox on Sunday. And the NFL draft is almost here. A lot of mixed opinions out there on all sorts of talent from top to bottom. How about quarterback and Carson Beck, a 6'4", highly experienced guy who finished as the runner-up this year to the presumptive number one pick, Hoosier quarterback Fernando Mendoza. Let's hear about Carson Beck from the words of former NFL GM Mike Tannenbaum.
Okay, Green. Look, he is well-built. He's 6'4". He's experienced. He has 43 starts, and he's been productive. He has 88 touchdowns. He has a really good arm. Looking here against Florida State, gets the ball out of his hands quickly, and he's accurate. The next play we have, you're going to see, again, move in the pocket, great deep ball accuracy for a touchdown.
That's against Notre Dame, too.
And that's against Notre Dame.
Right.
And here's the bad play. National championship game, you have a chance to win. 50 seconds to go in the game. You throw the ball to double coverage with on first down. That can't happen. There's going to be somebody that says, hey, I can take the good at 6'4", 43 starts, and we can eliminate that decision. And we have Matt Schaub in the third round, a good starter. So we can eliminate the negatives with Beck. You really may have something.
Look, there was a time and people.
That's the latest on Carson Beck. And again, that's Mike Tannenbaum talking him up. 6'4", very experienced. You want to talk about knocks on Carson Beck? There's very limited knocks on his game or the physical attributes or the athleticism. More so than that, it was in college, the waxing and waning of his personal life with the college game. Do you love football or don't you? Do you like being a star or don't you? And then he goes to Miami last year, and there was a lot of questions about, okay, what are you going to get here? Was he just a quarterback on a really good pair of teams at Georgia, or is he a reason why they were really good? And I think he proved that last year. Carson Beck, very above average college quarterback. We'll see what he can bring to the table coming up in the National Football League. But I said in hour number one, I'll say it again right now on the air. It's a unique quarterback class. Fernando Mendoza, without a doubt, the top quarterback, some would say top player in the entire class. He comes out very likely to be number one to the Las Vegas Raiders. Ty Simpson, mixed opinion. Highest he'll go, I would say, would be 15, 16, 18, something like that. Not 18 to say the Vikings are taking him. Calm down. In that range, Ty Simpson. Also could fall down to pick 52, 55, 58, 60, maybe round three. That is how wide the opinion may be on Ty Simpson. And also, very landing spot dependent. Does he go to a team that says, Ty, thanks so much. Go to work. You're our starting quarterback. Like Cleveland. Or another landing spot. Or does he go to a place like the Rams or the Steelers or somewhere else where he can be incubated for a couple of years and say, welcome to town, young man. You got work to do, a lot to learn. We love you. We love what you could be down the road. Go to work every day. Put the hard hat on. We're not going to thrust you into action. We're not going to mess you up too early. Welcome to the ball club. Sit on the bench, grab a clipboard, and get the coffee every morning. That is an ideal landing spot for Ty Simpson. But I told you in hour number one, that between this list of quarterbacks behind Ty, Garrett Nussmeier, Drew Aller, Carson Beck, Cade Klubnik, even throw in Jalen Daniels, Talen Green, Cole Payton's not a great example because he is kind of like Ty Simpson. 1 year, really good stuff up in Fargo. The rest of the time, bided his time, limited action. But there's other names out there, Haynes King, Joey Aguilar, Diego Pavia, out there in this draft that are draftable guys that have all sorts of experience, all sorts of size, moxie, what you like, what you love. But this is a weird timeline because a lot of these guys together, Aller, Klubnik, Daniels, for different reasons, did not finish their collegiate careers incredibly strong. And it's always a mixed bag. You can talk about arm strength concerns, accuracy concerns, the offense they played in, their hand size, whether they wear gloves or not, one glove or two glove, gloves on the left hand or the right hand. You could absolutely positively find things to critique a quarterback on no matter where you look. But I said in hour one, I'll say again, one of these guys that gets drafted in round 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 is going to pan out this year. And a lot of it's landing spot dependent, and it could be a Cade Klubnik on the Rams situation or a Drew Aller to the Steelers. Not going to play right away. Learn behind Aaron Rodgers. Maybe we're going to give Will Howard the ball, and you sit on the bench and tell us why we should play you. One of these guys is going to pan out this year. That's the gut feeling I have, and I am not a hot take merchant. I'm not saying Hall of Famer Carson Beck, Hall of Famer Drew Aller, look out, future All-Pro. No. I'm not saying diamond in the rough, what are we missing with this guy? He's so darn dynamic, why is he not a first-round pick? What I'm saying is I think one of these guys that have been talked up prior, like a Nussmeier, a Beck, a Klubnik, and Aller, as a Heisman Trophy front-runner, can't-miss NFL prospect, got all the physical tools. One of these guys we can't be that wrong about. Just by nature. And I think one of them is going to figure it out and pan out as a future NFL starter, and a good one at that. Nussmeier, Aller, Beck, Klubnik, those names. Jalen Daniels at Kansas is an amazing football player, but he's kind of a Michael Penix style in terms of tremendous injury history. When he's on the football field, he has been one of the better quarterbacks nationwide at times for Kansas football, but he's been so darn injured throughout his career, you don't really know what you're going to get. And then you got a guy like Talen Green, who is completely and totally a mystery. But PFF has written out for the redshirt senior, well-built, 6'6", athletically gifted prospect whose inconsistent passing will likely hold him back from a shot at a starter role. That seems like a project, and a lot of these guys are, but it depends on landing spot. We always talk about landing spot dependencies, coziest bed to get into, and J.J. McCarthy had one of those in Minnesota, and that hasn't worked out. But it's a case-by-case basis and a little bit different. I think one of these guys will pan out and be a diamond in the rough coming up just next week. Over to Major League Baseball we go, where the Minnesota Twins were off yesterday, but somehow they still found a way to score some wins. They watched from the couch as several of their division compadres went down. Detroit beat Kansas City 10-9. The Royals are 7-12. Tigers are 10-9. Milwaukee beat Toronto 2-1. 10-8 the record for the Brew Crew. White Sox lost again to Tampa 5-3. They are in the cellar. 6-13 the record. And Cleveland found a way to win 4-2 against Baltimore. They are 11-9. One other notable final for our area squads. The Rockies got a win against Houston 3-2 yesterday. Colorado is 7-12. We return to action on the Twins baseball season tonight at 7:10, 6:30 pregame against the Cincinnati Reds. Also today and tonight, Cubbies will get going against the Mets here in about an hour from Wrigley. Orioles at Guardians, Royals at Yankees, Brewers at Marlins, Red Sox home to the Tigers, Astros host the Cardinals, Dodgers at Rockies. That's going to be a crazy series. White Sox at the A's, 8:40 tonight as your nightcap. Let's get into your ReliaBank headlines of the day. We start down in Vermilion, where USD men's basketball has added a second transfer so far this offseason, getting a deal done with Cade Kelderman of Iowa State. Guard from Waukee, Iowa, spent the past three seasons with the Cyclones, appeared in 45 games, and set career highs in points assists this past season against Alcorn State in 15 minutes of action. He was an academic All-Big 12 rookie teamer and very limited experience so far. But you talk about talent level, Big 12 recruit Cade Kelderman coming over to USD. That could be a really good get for Coach Eric Peterson down in Vermilion. Other news to get to in your ReliaBank headlines of the day. For the first time in his career, Mariano Gomez of Augustana Baseball has been named the National Player of the Week. He earned the award for the week ending on April 12th and became the eighth Viking all-time to earn an NCBWA weekly honor, and it's his second of the season. Second this season for Augustana, rather. Gomez turned in a historic outing, tossing a complete game no-no in a 2-0 win over Winona. Gomez struck out 10 across 7 innings, faced the minimum, and all three walks he issued were erased on the bases. Congratulations, Augie. Viking pitcher Mariano Gomez, your NCBWA National Player of the Week. And lastly, massive news, some would say big red news, down the road for Big Red. At its upcoming meeting next week, next Friday, the University of Nebraska Board of Regents will consider what the Nebraska Athletics Department is calling the Big Red Rebuild. More than a renovation, Huskers.com notes that the Big Red Rebuild is a fan-first reimagining of Memorial Stadium, where tradition meets innovation. All sorts of buzzwords in the statement from Huskers.com. The dynamic transformation will honor the stadium's storied legacy while ushering in a new era of energy access and year-round engagement. You can view all the details, the plans, and it's a lot of what-ifs at this stage. Certainly subject to change, but Huskers.com, exciting news there for the future of Nebraska Husker Athletics and specifically Memorial Stadium with the Big Red Rebuild. We're going to take a break. Twins tickets up for grabs right now. Again, my goal, my mission on the program is for all of you that win with us, no matter the contest, to use your winnings, use your gift cards, head out to your local events, head out to your regional events. And I got a 4-pack of Minnesota Twins tickets for tonight's game. 6:30 pregame, 7:10 the start time against the Cincinnati Reds. If you can use them, hit me up. 605-362-3776. Twins baseball looking pretty good so far this year. They look to continue it against the Reds tonight, 7:10 the start. Also, I told you, you can also transfer them to a loved one in that area, somebody that's a baseball crazy person that wants to go out and see the Minnesota Twins tonight. If you can't make it, if you got somebody in mind, hit me up. I'll happily hook you up with a four-pack of tickets for tonight's Twins game against those Cincinnati Reds. 605-362-3776. Hour number two continues next right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader.
The best sporting matchups and coverage. We are ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls Sports Leader.
Well, we have made it to your dedicated NFL segment of the day, and we start out with some dismaying news for one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL draft coming up next week. Not really dismaying news, but to me, it would scare me. During the scouting combine, former Alabama quarterback Ty Simpson said that it would be a, quote, dream come true to play for new Browns head coach Todd Monken, who his signal caller has known for years as a family friend. Pro Football Talk on the news. Cleveland is one of several teams that have spent plenty of pre-draft time with Ty Simpson, who is widely regarded as the second best quarterback in this year's class. The Browns have Shedeur Sanders, Deshaun Watson, and Dylan Gabriel on their roster. There's certainly a chance, though, they could add a rookie in the draft. For Ty Simpson and the familiarity, that makes a lot of sense. But for the organization and for Ty looking at that organization and the long list, they're running out of fabric on the uniform of that one fan that has put together the Spurgeon Wynn, Jake DeLome, Charlie Fry, Tim Couch jersey that has so many more names than that, RG3, Brian Hoyer. They continue to mess up quarterbacks so much so that last year they had Joe Flacco, drafted a pair of rookies. All three of those guys started games. They still have Deshaun Watson on the jersey, and he might be in a competition to start the year as well. So if you're looking for a cozy confines, a place to learn, Cleveland's probably not it. But again, any opportunity, there's only 32 teams. I say it tongue-in-cheek for Ty Simpson. He gets drafted by the Browns. Wish him all the best. It's an NFL opportunity. Take it, run with it, young man. But that would scare me in terms of a courtship of teams. There were probably 25, 28, 31 other teams I'd play for than Cleveland as a quarterback just because of what they have a tendency to do. And even if you are good and lead the team to the postseason, the first playoff win in forever, they'll still run you out of town in Baker Mayfield. Ask him how that went. Any other quarterback in recent memory for Cleveland, it has not been good. But you can count the Browns as a landing spot. And I'm going to tell you right now, I feel like that's a pretty decent chance that Ty Simpson is a first-round pick at some stage by the Cleveland Browns, or maybe an early second. We'll wait and see. They have a lot of draft capital in Cleveland. Well, one notable wide receiver, probably wide receiver two or three in this year's class, is Arizona State wide receiver Jordan Tyson, and he is putting it all on display today. Tyson is holding a workout for teams, and Adam Schefter reports that 18 teams are expected to be at Arizona State for the session today. Tyson did not run at the combine or at the pro day because he was recovering from a hamstring injury. Tyson also missed time with hamstring injuries during the season, and the workout will give him a chance to assuage, that's a word, any doubts about his health before the draft starts next Thursday. On that news, Pro Football Talk, you're looking for the big body, contested catch, freak show wide receiver in this year's class. That's it. Jordan Tyson, a traditional X wide receiver out of Arizona State. Sean McDermott taking the year off. He did not take another coaching job after being let go by the Bills scapegoat in the wake of their playoff loss to the Broncos. McDermott saying via The Athletic, I could go visit people, but I already know what they're about and what they believe in. But I'm visiting some people that do things a little different than maybe I've done. If this guy seems to have had success, or this gal's had success, and their personalities may be a little different than mine, I'd like to get on the ground floor and just see how they handle the day in and day out of how it translates to the NFL. McDermott working with all sorts of different people, sports leadership conferences, and more this offseason to retool himself and maybe punt down the road to a different NFL opportunity, he is certainly deserving of another run elsewhere. The Kansas City Chiefs are apparently expecting a lot of trades. Chiefs general manager Brett Veach made a bold prediction yesterday about the NFL draft. It should be an entertaining night. Number one, there will probably be a lot of trades throughout this offseason. Veach has shared that this year's draft class is different from most years. Most analysts believe only one quarterback, Fernando Mendoza of Indiana, will be selected in the first 10 picks. Veach also said that some of the top prospects, Ohio State linebacker Sonny Styles, Notre Dame running back Jeremiah Love, and Ohio State safety Caleb Downs do not play one of the league's premier positions. A number of factors could lead teams engaging and executing more trades than usual. Veach was quoted as yesterday saying, there's a big talent drop-off from the mid-teens the rest of the way to pick 50 or so. That's good news for teams that don't own a first-round pick, like the Broncos, like the Packers, like the Jaguars, and more. But it's interesting narrative coming out of Kansas City as the Chiefs certainly have a lot to gain in this year's NFL draft. Quarterback Cam Ward, last year's number one overall pick of the Titans, is reportedly on schedule in his rehab process after injuring his throwing shoulder in January and could take part in the Titans' June minicamp. The general manager is Mike Borgonzi, saying yesterday he's been out there. I'm sure you've seen the videos of him throwing. He looks good. Borgonzi said Ward trending toward throwing when the Titans take the field for minicamp. Ward resumed throwing a football in mid-March with his personal quarterback's coach, Daryl Colbert Jr. of Select QB Athletics. There you go. Update on Cam Ward. And lastly here, a trade rumor shutdown. Chargers general manager Joe Hortiz shut down rumors surrounding wide receiver Quentin Johnston's availability, making it clear that yesterday that the first-round pick back in 2023 is not available. Hortiz saying there's a lot of rumors out there on Twitter, and I can tell you this, I have made zero calls about Quentin. I've had zero calls regarding Quentin, put that one to bed. Now, the whiniest news item of the day in any sport, and maybe in the world, comes out of Baltimore. Bad look, personally, for wide receiver Zay Flowers. He believes the change in head coach will change the Ravens' health issues. This appears to be very whiny, and I don't mean to be insensitive, but this is very new school, if you catch my drift. On an episode of the Fourth and South podcast that was released yesterday, Flowers, young receiver, claimed that the tough practices by former coach John Harbaugh led to more injuries, especially at the end of the season. Full pads all the time, Flowers said. However many practices and pads you can get, every single one. We're doing one-on-ones in week 17. Week 17, we're doing one-on-ones. Everybody's out there. We're tired and we're still going. Asked how the players manage that workload, Flowers replied, we don't. Flowers added, that's why we had a lot of injuries, because of how we practice, how we went. The load was heavy. And I understand. No doubt about it. It's a physical game. It's a gauntlet of a season. It's not getting any shorter. But if you look at what the NFL has done to protect their players, I call a little BS on this one. Because of this CBA that is official, under the NFL's collective bargaining agreement, teams are limited to a total of 14 padded practices for the entire season. Full pads all the time is the quote. 14 per season. That is less than one per week. And in addition to that, you can't have more than three padded practices in a row. And 11 of the 14 padded practices must occur in the first 11 weeks of the 17-game regular season. So it may be a matter of fact that they used one padded practice. Maybe they did three back-to-back-to-back in week 17 because Harbaugh was ticked off and had him to burn. And you could say, oh, man, he wore us out in practice. We didn't play that well on game day. Well, any good coach worth their salt knows how to utilize those things. And the NFL is not recognizable in practice now to what it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And even high schoolers out there, you catch my drift, I've never sweated more in my life than two-a-days in high school for football. And in college, the practices get pretty intense. Post-practice is intense. How bad do you want it? County fair drills, etc. I remember those days, and I'm not some tough guy. Don't mistake me for a tough guy when I'm talking here. But it is crazy to me that you have complaints about that. We're talking about practice with Zay Flowers, a wide receiver that is throwing the old coach under the bus for being too hard of a coach. And anybody that's been around Harbaugh, yes, he's old school. He's a throwback. That family's that way. That coaching tree is that way. Jesse Minter will probably be that way to a regard. But it's the coach's determination when to use the practices, when to say, gosh, we need a padded practice this week. We are so soft, or we're not getting off the line well enough, or we're not pressing well enough on defense, or our tackling is atrocious. Schedule me a padded practice on Wednesday of next week. We're going to run these guys hard. We got to make a change. When your team starts out 1-5, like the Ravens did, maybe you should up the ante in physicality. So, yes, I'm very lost there. That comes off to me as an exceptionally whiny headline from Zay Flowers this week. Let's finish it up here, the segment up, with your draft previews of the day. And we start with the former Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. Feels like it's been a while. And I know I don't want to hex it. I don't want them back on the big stage here. But we'll talk about the Chiefs right now. 6-11 last year. That was third place in the AFC West. Their last playoff appearance, 2024, lost to Philly in a lopsided Super Bowl. They have 9 picks this year in the draft. They have pick number 9 overall and pick number 29 overall that they got in the trade away for cornerback Trent McDuffie. They have a second rounder, third rounder, fourth rounder, 3 5s and a 6. 9 total picks for Kansas City. This offseason, they added, re-signed tight end Travis Kelce. That's probably the biggest transaction. The other one, of course, running back Kenneth Walker III joining from the Seahawks. They also added safety Aloe Gilman and quarterback, backup quarterback Justin Fields. Their losses, cornerback Trent McDuffie, cornerback Jalen Watson, safety Brian Cook, linebacker Leo Chenal, wide receiver Marquise Brown, right tackle Juwan Taylor, and running back Isaiah Pacheco. This is a different team in 2026. Their draft needs, their big three, wide receiver, edge rusher, and defensive back. So their fits in round one, two different areas to fit in. Top 10, top 30. Two different picks in the first round. Their fits early on are whatever edge rusher drops into their lap, whether it be David Bailey, Reuben Bain, one of those guys might fall to pick 9 or might fall to pick 7 or 6, and the Chiefs make the call and say, what do you need for us to grab that guy? Other fits at pass rusher, Akeem Mezidor of Miami, middle of the first round. Keldrick Falk of Auburn, late first round. Cassius Howell, same deal. Cornerback, Mansoor Delane of LSU makes a lot of sense early on, as does Jermaine McCoy, and Avion Terrell probably could wait to late round one, early round two. At safety, it is a dream scenario, somehow, some way, that Caleb Downs falls to pick 6 or 7. I think the Chiefs make the jump and make that pick. Caleb Downs, an amazing playmaker, was the guy about 6 months ago in this draft class. Everybody was talking about Caleb Downs, can't miss talent. Other safeties, Viking fans know him well, Dylan Thienemann and Emmanuel McNeil Warren. And lastly here for wide receiver, it's been a long time since Mahomes had a real big NFL body receiver that was consistently on the football field. You can talk about Juju Smith-Schuster or Marquez Valdez-Scantling or all the small, skinny dudes they have running around all the time. How about you go and get a Jordan Tyson or a Carnell Tate or a Denzel Boston out of Washington? Those names make a lot of sense for Kansas City coming up in round one and beyond. Other team today is the Cincinnati Bengals. They were 6-11 as well last year. Also a third place team in their division. And their last playoff appearance was an eternity ago. 2022, an AFC Championship game loss to Kansas City. They have 8 total picks this year. Number 10 overall, a second, a third, a fourth, 2 6s and 2 7s. That's the haul for Cincinnati. Their additions this offseason, edge rusher Boye Mafe joins the squad. Safety Brian Cook comes over from Kansas City. And defensive lineman Jonathan Allen, pretty big deal after being cut out of Minnesota. Edge rusher Trey Hendrickson, the big loss. They also lost edge rusher Joseph Osai, tight end Noah Fant, safety Geno Stone, and cornerback Cam Taylor Britt. Their needs in Cincinnati, guard, defensive interior, linebacker, and safety. So the obvious fit at pick number 10 is that name that's tremendously tough to say, Penn State guard Olai Vavega-Ioni. Also tackle at Alabama, Iowa native Caden Proctor might be an NFL guard. That's another name to monitor at the back end of round number one. Now, defensive lineman on the inside, probably not going to be pick 10. Maybe a trade down in the works for Cincinnati, but the two fits there in round one, Caden McDonald or Peter Woods. At linebacker, they could stick and pick C.J. Allen of Alabama, Georgia, in round number one. Mid-round linebacker, pretty deep class. And then at safety, Caleb Downs. I repeat what I said before. If he falls to 5, 6, or 7, there are going to be a lot of busy phones in the draft for Caleb Downs. Dylan Thienemann, Emmanuel McNeil Warren also fit those Cincinnati Bengals. Those are your pair of previews today. Chiefs and Bengals. Been a long time since Cincinnati been in the postseason. 2022. Somehow that's going to be 4 years with Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Trey Hendrickson. I was thinking about that today. Why the Bengals didn't trade Trey Hendrickson, why they didn't even try, and now he's out of town organically as a free agent. They'll get a comp pick for him. But a couple years ago, they drafted his replacement last year in Ja'Marr Stewart, and he barely got on the football field. They need to depend on him, but the Bengals really missed the mark on that one. Letting go of Trey Hendrickson after a substandard season last year, and now he leaves as a free agent. That one really hurt Cincinnati, and that offense, defense, and special teams needs a little bit of WD-40, if you will, there in Cincinnati. That's the latest from the NFL. Draft previews for the Bengals and the Kansas City Chiefs coming up next. We finish up the day and the week of the show with the good, the bad, the ugly. By the way, one more call, one last call. Twins tickets tonight. Got a 4-pack sitting on my phone. Would love to transfer them to you. If you could use Twins tickets tonight or somebody you know could use them, I would love for them to get used. 605-362-3776. Hit me up. Happy to transfer them to you around the corner. Good, the bad, the ugly coming up next on Overtime.
Streaming live online and with the app, this is Overtime with Burt Rameen on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
The entries are trickling in for the Friday Parlay. You can join the contest, Twitter exclusive contest, each and every Friday that we're on the air. It feels like it's been a very long time since the last parlay because it has been 3 weeks. We had last Friday off, Friday before then off as well. Friday Parlay, making its triumphant return. You can find it on Twitter. Got to be following us. Enter for your chance to win. We got a handful of entries already on Twitter for this week's Friday Parlay. Time to round out and wrap up the show with the good, the bad, and the ugly right now on Overtime.
Who's been the problem child today? Displayed their ugly side, whined a bit too much, and is now setting a bad example? Bert is calling out today's headline makers with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
The good, the bad, and the ugly brought to you by your local Lewis Drug and specifically Lewis Lawn and Garden Care. They got it all for you in the lead up to seeding season, aeration, fertilizer, and so much more. Take advantage right now and make sure to have that Lewis Drug app. The instant rebate right now, $25 instant rebate on Scott's 4-Step Fertilizer. I know, just like me, you probably have neglected your lawn just a bit. Is your neighbor's lawn greener? Yes, it is. Is the grass always greener? Maybe not. But the neighbor's lawn might be greener than yours. Don't want to get shown up in this spring, summer season. Take care of your lawn, home, garden, and more. Lewis Drug, Lewis Lawn and Garden. Make sure to download that Lewis app to save even more. Let's dive into the good news. More football. Always good news, regardless of the fact that it might be encroaching on other sports seasons. Beginning in 2027, college football could have an earlier start to the season, as the NCAA's Football Oversight Committee on Thursday recommended a standard start before Labor Day weekend. Under the proposal, the regular season would begin on the Thursday of what is now called Week Zero and still end on the Saturday after Thanksgiving. Schools would have 14 weeks to schedule 12 games. This model would give teams 2 open dates and allow for flexibility for potential changes to the postseason. That's significant as the leaders of the college football playoff continue to discuss how and when to expand the current 12-team field. The proposed calendar change would also preserve standalone weekends for the conference championship games, which probably should go away if we're being honest, especially at the Power 4 level. And of course, a standalone weekend for Army-Navy, which absolutely positively deserves it. Vanderbilt coach Clark Lee, a member of the Football Oversight Committee, told ESPN that the football season calendar has been a health and safety issue that needed to be addressed. I like this. My only question is when and what the new week zero will be called. Are they going to be allowed for teams to play earlier than the early start? Can you have a week negative one? Little scrimmage that might count in conference or out of conference, something like that. We'll see. We've seen week zero for years, and very rarely do we get a decent matchup in that weekend. We'll see, though. If they move it up at all, that is the latest recommendation. Continuing with good news, Notre Dame and Villanova will play a men's and women's basketball doubleheader coming up November 1st in Rome to open the season. Universities are promoting the matchups as a chance to celebrate their shared mission and heritage as Catholic schools. The jointly hosted event will include, quote, special programming that brings together academics, athletics, and spirituality. Villanova said in its announcement, Notre Dame, Villanova men's and women's basketball opening the season in Rome November the 1st. That's good news. Bad news here. Patrick Alvin is out as the general manager of the Vancouver Canucks after just 4 years. That decision announced this morning. Bad news continuing. The decision to move on comes as the Canucks went from being a win away from the Western Conference Finals 2 years ago to finishing the season with the worst record in the NHL by a sizable margin. Alvin, who was hired in January of 2022, was tasked with trying to get a core of players featuring Thatcher Demko, Quinn Hughes, JT Miller, and Elias Pettersson into becoming a perennial playoff team. Vancouver reached the playoffs in Alvin's second season after it fired Bruce Boudreau and replaced him with Rick Tocchet. Under Tocchet, the Canucks won the Pacific Division with their largely homegrown core at the heart of that success, and they would lose to the eventual Stanley Cup runner-up Edmonton in round number two. A changing of the guard out in Vancouver for Canuck hockey. Other news to get to. Bad news, ugly news. A rash of drone sightings during the Rockies' first homestand of the season against the Phillies sent law enforcement scrambling to track down the operators. No one was arrested after more than a half dozen drone sightings around Coors Field during April 3rd through the 5th, but the drone pilots could still face a fine later. The Federal Aviation Administration and FBI issued a warning on Thursday to try to keep drones away from the stadium during the Rockies' next home games because they are concerned about the potential threat that they pose. The illegal drone activity did not jeopardize anyone's safety, but there were enough violations that the teams on the ground were concerned about the number of operators that did not seem to understand the seriousness of the situation. Again, a half dozen drones around Coors Field. Crazy stuff. April 3rd through the 5th for that, the initial home opener for the Colorado Rockies. I didn't think there would need to be more eyes on Rocky baseball, but apparently some people are interested in viewing through a drone's lens. Maybe a little too embarrassed to be there in Coors Field. They want to be up in the air watching the action. Now, this is good news, bad news, and ugly news all wrapped into one as we say so long on this Friday edition of the show. A district court judge has granted Oklahoma linebacker Owen Heineke a preliminary injunction that hands the former walk-on an additional year of eligibility this fall. Following a day-long emergency hearing at the Cleveland County, Oklahoma courthouse, which included testimony from Oklahoma coach Brent Venables and general manager Jim Nagy, Judge Thad Balkman ruled Thursday that the NCAA failed to consider the totality of Heineke's case surrounding his freshman season with Ohio State's lacrosse program in 2021, and he granted the injunction that paves the way for Heineke to return for Oklahoma for a fifth season this fall. Can't tell you enough. Good news for Heineke. Great. Kid did nothing wrong, trying to play more. That's fine. Doesn't bother me one bit. Probably shouldn't bother you unless it's a case of absolute positive abuse of a 7, 8, 9, 10, 12-year collegiate career. But the bad news and the ugly news is we still don't have any rules. I know we're working on it. We got the president involved. We got all sorts of decision makers involved. I just hope that we get some guardrails at some point to where we can get back to, here's how this works. You have 5 years, one transfer. 6 years, two transfers. Black and white rules, and they stick around for some time. We had them for years. Oh, they're going to redshirt this kid. That's great. They'll have him for 5 years. Freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. Makes sense to me. And then we had to go tinker with it. And this has very little to do with NIL outside of the maybe possibly making a little bit more money by sticking around. But if you're an NFL guy, which Heinicke is, just want to go back and refine your game, play additional in college, that no problem for me. But the bad and the ugly here is the fact that there's still no rules for eligibility. Every case is so darn different. Some sort of guardrails, some sort of explanation. When the player gets to town at a university, you say, okay, you got 2 years left. No, I may have 3 or 4 or 5, maybe 6, because I played lacrosse and I was at a JUCO school. Then I transferred here and I was at an NAIA and then I'm up here. Then I had a medical hardship. Out of control doesn't begin to start where we are with college athletics in totality. That is the show. That is the week of the program. Again, one last call for Minnesota Twins tickets. I have 1 4-pack of tickets remaining for tonight. Cincinnati, the opponents, you want them, they're yours. Maybe you got a cousin or an uncle or a niece or a nephew out in the Twin Cities that could use them tonight. Hit me up, 605-362-3776. We'll talk to you on Monday when the next edition of Overtime rolls around for NFL Draft Week. You're in for a treat. Can't wait to talk to you on Monday. We'll talk to you then right here on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.